And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And, of course, we're being broadcast around the world through worldwide Christian radio out of Nashville, Tennessee, that broadcast a huge beacon of strength. And I just love to hear from my friends in countries as different as Romania, Russia, Uzbekistan. We get letters from all over. And, of course, then we have the Western European friends of ours here at the ministry. Glad to hear from you. Down under, Australia, New Zealand. Boy, we have some fans down there, and they keep writing us, of course. And my good friend John Christian, we published one of his books, The Gladiator, an exciting book through our Rivercrest Publishing. And I want to wish him all the best. Maybe he's listening today. You know, I appreciate so much our international audience. It's interesting that the Bible says that God is going to judge the nations at the end of time. Of course, he'll judge us as individuals, but he judges nations too. And you know, he's always done that. Some nations make the grade and some, well, they get the cut, let's just say. America, of course, has been very blessed, at least financially and in many other ways with heritage. But I wonder if we're being blessed today because of our decadent culture and the horrors that our children are having to wade through. And some of us as parents, we know that we're responsible for that, maybe in earlier generations, especially the 60s hippies generation, that now many of them have returned to God, and yet at that time they participated in some very devilish things. But of course, you know, God is a great one to forgive, isn't he? I love 1 John because it tells us that God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions. He's not a mean, angry God that's after you, friends. God doesn't want you to perish. God loves you. That's the amazing thing people simply don't know. And it doesn't matter what race you are. You know, I'm often criticized because we've exposed Judaism. It's a false religion. It rejects Jesus, says terrible things about them, about him, and even about Mary in the Jewish Talmud, their holy book. But God doesn't hate Jews. God would like Jews to be saved too. That's why we preach to Jews. I would like to see every Jew with me in heaven. Friends, you can't hate a person you want to live with forever. I would like to see every Jew in heaven. That's not going to happen. The Bible says it's not. And because of their rejection of Christ, they've got more calamities ahead. But we can win as many Jews over to the Lord as possible, can't we? And that's the very essence of love. That God wants no man to perish. Now, okay, I'm not going to preach to you a sermon on the cross today and show you the depth of Jesus' love, but you know that. You know it's true. Read the gospel. Start with Matthew, which I've always especially held to my heart. You'll know what I mean. Now, at the same time, God says he is going to punish evildoers. Now, that doesn't mean you and me when we make a mistake or, you know, what some people think if they tell a little white fib, they're going to sink right to the pits of hell. I'm not saying that any fib, any sin is good. Of course it's not. But again, God is merciful and just and willing to forgive, even eager to forgive us. He knocks at the door 24 hours a day, friend. But there are some men and women who are so consumed with evil, and they're in very high places of power in our nation's capital, and in other world capitals. They are members of secret societies. They're members of religious cults, even secret cults. That's why the Bible warns of the mystery of iniquity that will come to fullness in the last days. Now, I've exposed a lot of these secret societies and groups, and because I've sometimes exposed the fact that even some very famous Christian leaders are involved in these groups, well, I've sort of become persona non grata among some circles. Even some Christian bookstores are afraid to offer Tex Mar's books. Well, that doesn't concern me at all. You know, because I'm going to continue to tell the truth, and that's what we're here for. We're part of the truth movement. Jesus said that he is the truth. Well, you can't get any better than that, can you? And that's what we're doing. We're going to do it today. I want to talk to you a little bit today about these evil men. I love to expose evil. I do. I must admit, it's fun for me to pull back the mask and show people with discernment and insight, because most people won't understand what we're talking about. Daniel 12 verse 10 says that the wise shall understand the last days, the latter times. The wise shall understand. How do you become wise? Do you, I've taught at three universities. I have a few college degrees. And, you know, none of that education made me wise, except maybe to the things of the world. But true spiritual wisdom, dear friends, comes from God. And you don't need even a second grade education to have discernment, to have truth implanted in your heart. You can be a mechanic. You can be an airplane pilot. And I have many of them, so many attorneys and doctors and so forth write us regularly here. Very intelligent men. They love Jesus. I recall, I'm getting off track here, but I recall many years ago, I had a phone conversation with Madeline Murray O'Hare, the famous atheist. She was housed right here in Austin, Texas, head of the American Atheist Foundation. She said to me, "Tex Mars, you're a very brilliant man. You're an educator," she said. "You're a scholar." She said, "How can you be so dumb as to believe in that Jesus Christ and that Bible? How can you be so dumb as to believe in Jesus Christ and that Bible?" And I very kindly let her know that Jesus' wisdom was much greater than mine. My brilliant mind is nothing compared to God's. And then I asked her, I said, "Let me ask you this question, Madeline. I'm praying for you. Is there any hope that you'll change someday? I would like you to." I said, "You know, you're a very, very convincing person. You're a very aggressive personality. You're able to make people believe in some of the things you do. I would like you to see you use that energy for the cause of Christ to do good in the world." You know, I thought she would hang up on me, be very angry, but instead she got very quiet and she said, "Well, I am changing. I'm changing all the time, Mr. Mars, but I know I'll never become a Christian." And I told her how sad that made me. And then she sort of got mad again and snapped and said, "Well, you know, I agreed to come on and be interviewed by you, but let's get on to talking about other things." You know, I think it actually disturbed her because she knew the truth deep inside, but she had gone down that pathway. Sometimes, you know, you have to turn around, and it's hard after years of being one way, of seeking after the world. It's a tough thing. But believe me, friends, if she had done so, the rewards would have been so terrific for her heart, for her mind, for eternity. What happened to Madeline Murray O'Hare? You know the story probably. Madeline Murray O'Hare and her son, they hired these ex-convicts to work for them in their American Atheist Foundation, sending out atheist materials. And only because these ex-cons were atheists. But they found out that Madeline had quite a bit of money in a safe at her estate or her mansion. And one day they showed up with guns, and they took Madeline Murray O'Hare and her son out into a field out, 70 miles from Austin, Texas. They shot them dead. They carved their body into pieces. They buried the pieces on some ranch there. And, of course, they first made her withdraw all her money from the bank, take the gold that she had in her safe at home and things. So you see, she associated with evil people, atheists like her. And this was the end result. No wonder the Bible says that, you know, whatever we sow, we'll reap. And I feel sorry for her. I really, some people say, oh, I don't, I hate that woman. It makes me angry just to think about her. Don't feel that away, friends. We should have sorrow and compassion on the lost. And the day that I interviewed Madeline, I had great compassion on her. And yet we cannot compromise our faith. We cannot agree that, okay, we'll throw this out or throw that out. Now, I said all this to bring you to the subject of today, which is Codex Magica, my most recent book, and the evildoers that are exposed in that book, and what they're doing. And I have over 1,000 photographs in that book. It's a huge book, big as a telephone book. It's over 600 pages. It's huge format. And I wanted to make a statement here. You know, some people don't believe words, but they'll believe pictures. So now you have pictures and words. What does Codex Magica show you? It shows you that there is a conspiracy of evil people in the highest places. Even Paul talked about wickedness in high places. That's demonic in the other world, let's say. Remember, Satan is prince of the power of the air. But it's also human beings who are agents and disciples in the secret societies that have been founded by Satan's lieutenants here on earth. And Codex Magica reveals the magic of their codes, of their hidden codes. Now, I call these men the Illuminati. And there, of course, literally was the Order of the Illuminati, founded May 1, 1776. By Adam Weishaupt over in Europe. Now, if you don't believe that, go to Encyclopedia Britannica and look up Mr. Adam Weishaupt. That's Weishaupt. You'll find out he was a professor of the University of Ingolstadt. He was a Jesuit scholar, but as a Jesuit, he turned to the Secret Society of Freemasonry, and then he converted many of the lodges of Europe of the Masons into lodges of the Illuminati, and was so convincing that many of the princes and noblemen, dukes and so forth, and marquises of Europe were just fascinated and were thrilled by the Illuminati. Later, they lost their heads. Literally. I don't mean just their brains went. I mean, many of them went to the guillotine because France was overthrown, its king and queen, who had actually been the most kind and gentle of monarchs. Don't believe your history books. They were the most kind and gentle monarchs. And Antoinette never said, let them eat cake, speaking of the poor. That's not even true. Those were just lies fabricated by the Illuminati. What happened was there was a revolution, an overthrow, and then they began to systematically persecute the Christian church, both Catholic and Protestant. And priests and ministers alike were brought to the guillotine, were tied in ropes and thrown into rivers and drowned and beaten, tortured for their faith. Churches were desecrated. Feces were smeared on pews and crosses were broken. At one time, the Illuminati to show their contempt for Christianity, declared a new religion for France. A religion of reason, they called it. Of reason. You see, man's reason, his mind, would be dominant, superior to the thoughts of God. The Bible tells us to make all of our imaginations, all of our thoughts, captive to God. But the Illuminati said, no, it is the will of man that shall prevail over God. They took a woman, a beautiful woman, in Paris, France. They took all her clothes off. Willingly, she went. They put her on a horse, a white horse, and they set up a huge celebration in Paris, France that day to celebrate the coming of freedom, equality, liberty for the people. And they had her and a huge band of revelers. She rode the horse down the valley and to the cheers of the throng of crowds that came out, the goddess of reason was crowned. And of course, that was followed by more head chopping at the guillotines. Finally, the head choppers themselves were taken away to the guillotine, and then those who chopped their heads were taken off, and finally, even the most bloody butcher of all, a man named Robespierre, was himself taken away. And so it is, as Revelation 13 says, if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Codex Magica is a book that reveals the secret signs, the mysterious symbols, and the hidden codes of the Illuminati. Here you will see the rituals practiced before your very eyes. In all of these pictures, hand symbols, handshakes, mysterious symbols that I decipher in this book. And I explain, I even show you in right from Rosicrucian, Masonic, occult books showing what these symbols mean. So one man wrote a review of my book at Amazon.com. He said, you know, I've always loved Tex Mars's books and they've always been great. And this one has tremendous information in it. He said, but about one third of the pictures in it are sort of questionable. I'm sort of disappointed. About one third of them, you know, well, maybe the man's hand just ended that way or that way, or maybe his body was contorted a certain way. And Tex says it's really a sign of this or that occult ritual being performed right before our eyes. So he was happy with two-thirds of the book. Well, let me tell you, friends, when you have a 642-page book and a man believes 400 and something pages of it, well, I guess that's not bad. So I don't mind that at all. I remember my good friend, Dr. Gail Ripplinger. She wrote a book called New Age Bible Versions. It was a big best-selling book. Very controversial, of course. And man, the hounds of Hale came out after Sister Gail, and so the book was like 700 or 800 pages long. It was a real scholarly book, and after all, she had taught at Kent State University for many years, and very educated, just a woman with a lovely heart. And somebody sent me a review from a Christian journal and said, you must reject this book, because there are numerous errors in it. And they listed about 8 or 9, like they were misspelled words or something. that's all it was. They couldn't come up with anything wrong with it. I remember my good friend Dave Hunt did a book called The Seduction of Christianity. It was a landslide number one bestseller. And they had a review of it, and I believe it was Charisma in Christian Life magazine. And the guy, Mr. Buckingham, who wrote the review said, this book is unscholarly. I don't recommend it. For example, the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski is misspelled. That was his only example, the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski. Well, Zbigniew Brzezinski, of course, was the national security advisor under Jimmy Carter as president. But just try to spell his name. I'll bet 1 out of 1,000 can spell Zbigniew Brzezinski correctly. And by the way, Brzezinski has 2 Z's in it, just to give you a little idea of the difficulty. But Dave Hunt suddenly, you know, he publishes this book, which is a number one best-selling book, sold I don't know, probably a million copies around the world, but Charisma and Christian Life rejected it because of the spelling of the word Zbigniew Brzezinski, or the name. But this is the way it is. Folks, when you're out there fighting the battle, you're going to have people that say things. I have these witchcraft people. There's a group called the Foundation for, or Coalition for Religious Freedom. And they blast me. They say things that are just absolute lies on the internet. I could sue them, but I don't want to waste my time on people like that. I got more important things to do. But it's interesting. I checked out this group. Took me just 5 minutes to check them out on the web. Found out they're part of a witchcraft group called the Welsh Witchcraft Sect. They're witches. But they hide their name, you know. To me, it's what they're doing. Religious Freedom Coalition. And they write this big thing blasting me. Just a pack of lies. I found out stuff. I mean, if I read these things about text wars on the internet, I don't think I'd like the guy very much, you know, the lies they tell. But it's great fun. You know, friends, that's the way things are for Christians. Don't think it's going to be a bed of roses for you. There's some thorns out there. And, you know, when you go out and pick the most beautiful rose in the garden, well, there's a serpent or two waiting for you out there. A couple of spiders. And thorns. But you got to brave it. You got to fight these things for the reward. And there is a great reward. Now, Codex Magica. Since I published this book, many of you have continued to send me new photographs from magazines, from the internet, from newspapers. Around the world, I'm just inundated by these photographs. And I love it. I'm getting another collection. Who knows? I might write another book called More Codex Magica. I don't know. But I'd like to talk to you about some of these things today. Just some of the ones. Hope we can get to as many as we can. And I wish we had some kind of a slide projector. I could project these images into your head. You can see they're still doing it. They're still conducting secret rituals with these signs and symbols right before our eyes. And 99.99% of the people know absolutely nothing about what's going on. But I'm going to try to describe them as best as I can to you and maybe refer a little bit back to my book, Codex Magica. You got to have this book. Hey, I'm not trying to sell things around here. You know, the things we sell in this ministry, actually, we often lose money on. But we just keep going. We're doing great. This book is doing fantastic. I think, Sandra, we just finished our third printing of that book, right, Codex? Yeah, third printing. And so it's just doing great. And every week, you know, Amazon.com and Ingram, the biggest distributor in the world, offered. It's offered, by the way, at Barnes & Noble. You can get it on the shelves there at Barnes & Noble. I think they put it in the New Age section. So if you don't go to the New Age section, you won't see Codex Magica. But I went there, and they had a big stack of them at my local Barnes & Noble stores. That was a couple of months ago. So you can order it from our ministry, or you can order it from our internet site, or you can get it at Barnes & Noble, or order it from any bookstore. Now, Codex Magica. First of all, let me give you a little reference point here. Dean Grace, friend of mine who sends me stuff all the time, and I appreciate it so much, he publishes a periodic publication called the Oregon Star. In a spring 2000 issue, he said something. By the way, Dean Grace published a book. It's unavailable now. I wish it were in print. It's called A Little History of the $1 Bill. And it explains very carefully the occult inscriptions and images on our $1 bill, including the pyramid and the all-seeing eye of the Egyptian sun god and all these things. He does a great job of it. But he's also an expert in decoding popular songs, showing satanic messages in popular culture. But what is it all about? Why would they be putting secret messages in songs? And in TV programs. Listen to what he says. He says, for millennia, a great plan has been hidden deep within secret societies to bring all of humankind under a single world government, a novus ordo seclorum, new world order. Let me stop there and mention on the $1 bill is that Latin inscription under the pyramid of Egypt. Novus Ordo Seclorum. Look and see if I'm not telling you the truth. And it means basically New World Order. He goes on to say, this plan is of such antiquity that its result is even mentioned in the Bible, the rule of the Antichrist in the Revelation of John. Come the New Jerusalem, United Nations, global unity through free trade are some of many coded descriptions for this great plan, the secret architects of which, he says, are not benign humanitarians, as they would have us believe, but instead they are people in the service of greed, lust, and worldly power. They are not followers of Jesus Christ. And, Mr. Grace writes, their government of nations, quote unquote, is a deception hiding in reality a money-clad world dictatorship. A money-clad world dictatorship. You know, I think I'm going to write to Dean Grace and say, hey, Dean, you really spelled it out clear here. I never thought about that. What are they clothed in? Oh, not just, suits and ties and, $500 shirts from a fancy tailor. No, they're clothed in money. They're clad in money. Because after all, the Bible says in 1 Timothy that it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Now, these men, what they're trying to do in their great plan is set up, as Dean Gray says here, a new world order. How are they doing it? They're trying to create it through magic, through occult planning, through man's will. Remember, all of the great occultists believe that through willpower, they could create reality. Their thought forms could make reality change. They could catapult the world through propaganda and lies into the new age, transform us. There would be some kind of a quantum leap, a transforming of humankind. This is the meaning of my book, Codex Magica. You have to understand why they do these things. They believe changes are taking place. They believe they are creating a new reality through these symbols and signs. Remember, even the Bible in Revelation 13 says it is the image of the beast that will be worshipped in the last days. People will be required to worship not just the beast directly, but his image. I think that's an interesting thought. The image. No wonder Paul told us that every imagination that we have as Christians must be made captive to the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Let his thoughts be our thoughts. We are captive to Jesus as Christians. But listen to me very carefully, dear friend. Listen to me when I tell you that Paul says, whoever a man allows to be his leader, he becomes captive to. He is in bondage to that man. And a system can also put you in bondage. The world system. They're creating a new reality. And this is important. It is psychological. It is mind control. And it's on all of our TV screens. And we've got to protect our children from it, from the time they're in the cradle, and we have to protect our minds. They clad themselves with money and with images of Satan. You, dear friends, must clad yourself with truth, with the Word of God, and make your mind captive to the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Now, when we come back, we're going to go a little bit deeper into this, and then I'm going to tell you about some of these pictures that my friends out there have sent me from around the world. And I think you're going to enjoy hearing about some of the incredible things the Illuminati is doing through our media to capture our minds. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'll be right back after this brief message. Oh, sorry. Just go ahead. Okay. Codex Magica. It's a bestseller, I guess, now, even though some bookstores may be afraid to offer it. Barnes & Noble and many others still do. And I want to tell you, dear friends, you need to have this book. You need to study this book. Now, you're not going to be able to put it in your back pocket and carry it around because it's a mammoth of a book. It'll be a sort of a book you put on your coffee table. I know my good friend Ted Pike, author of The Other Israel. He wrote me a letter and he said, "This book is like glue. When you pick it up, you can't put it down." And, Alex Jones, and most of you know Alex Jones. He's heard around the nation on the Alex Jones Show. Very controversial. I love Alex very much. I was privileged to conduct the marriage ceremony for he and his wife, Violet. Oh, what a beautiful bride. Alex, he's a handsome galoot. That's what I call guys. Hey, I'm not going to say nice things about guys. They're all galoots. You ladies are the ones that are lovely, and you know it. Come on. And my wife, Wanda, she's a lovely girl. I don't know why she puts up with me. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. We somehow grab hold of these gals, and you got to treat them right, though, because, boy, I don't know. Well, we'll talk about that at a later time. But Alex Jones says this is the best book that Tex Mars has ever written. And, of course, we have many other accolades from our friends out there. I don't know if it's the best book I've ever written. You know, everybody has their personal favorites. And when I go around to conferences, people come up to me and say, "Boy, your favorite book of mine, Tex, is Dark Secrets. Or your favorite book is Days of Hunger." I guess we all have our interest. But I know one thing. This is the most one of the most important books I've ever written, because we're right now in this stage of history. I want you to have this book, Codex Magica, 642 pages. It's about the size of three regular books. That's why we do ask $35. And as you know, any profit goes right back into the ministry here. So you're helping us keep our radio show going around the globe, our newsletter going out to many tens of thousands of people, both on the internet and by hard copy, and the many other activities, our orphans, homes, projects, and so forth that we do here. So, Codex Magica, $35. Please add, I think it's Sandra, $4. Okay, shipping and handling. You know, they take care of all this out here. I have wonderful people, and I don't have to get intricately involved. Sometimes I have to ask questions myself right here in my own ministry. You know, tell me what's going on. But they do a good job. I've had staff here that have been with us many years, and they're really not staff, they're family. I believe everyone here is a member of my family, so that's sort of the way we work here. And you too are a member of my extended family listening to us on the radio regularly. Now, $35, add $4 shipping and handling, a total of $39. Hey, when you order this book from us, you know you're going to get a free subscription to our newsletter, Power of Prophecy, every month in your mailbox. You don't even have to ask for it. And if you're on our list now to getting our newsletter and you order this book or any of our products, including today's tape or CD message for $8, why, you know what? We're going to automatically extend your subscription and keep you on the list. And that's the way we do things around here. The newsletter is free. Order anything, and we just give you a free subscription to the newsletter. We're glad to do so. And if you'd like a free copy of the newsletter without sending us a nickel, you know what? You don't even have to buy this book. Just write to me and say, "Tex, I want that newsletter. I want a sample copy," and we'll send it to you. Hey, you can't beat that. A free deal. Here's our phone number. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Or write to us. We're in Austin, Texas. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. By the way, that's not my home address. That's our office facility and building. Somebody talked to me recently, and they said, "Tex, we went by your house on Saturday, and you had the gate was locked and everything, you know. Boy, you just don't welcome people very much." Well, I'm sorry, we close on Saturday. He said, "Oh, that's not your home, the address." No, that's not my home. That's our office facility. So, you know, and by the way, if you want to visit us, you're free to do so. We welcome visitors. We're pretty busy around here. But, you know, we might just have time to stop and give you a little cheer. Who knows? We might even have a cup of coffee available. But, again, we are very, very busy, and I hope you keep that in mind. And give us a call before you come, too. That would be nice. And, you know, then we'll be able to maybe have somebody in here and treat you right, okay? But, again, we don't really have touring and things like that. But, you know, we're not going to turn down anybody that drops by to see us either. Okay, that address again, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. If you're overseas, of course, add USA, the wonderful, great USA. And we're fighting to keep it wonderful and great and make it even into the great nation it once was. That's right. We want to take back America for truth. Now, 1-800-234-9673. Codex Magic of $39. Hey, we even have a video on this. 2 hours. It's actually me being interviewed by Freeman of the Freeman Report. Actually, the Freeman Perspective. I'm glad I got that right. The Freeman Perspective. Freeman, good friend of mine, and he interviewed me for 2 hours on Austin television on this subject, Codex Magica. And Freeman even did his own research. Man, does he know a lot. And he put up a lot of pictures of his own. Many, many pictures, not even in Codex Magica. That video is $25. It's called The Freeman Perspective, Codex Magica, if you'd rather have the DVD of Codex Magica. But I think the book will give you a lot more information. All right, now let's return to our regular program. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, going around the world on streaming audio. PowerofProphecy.com is our website. You can listen 24 hours a day to this week's program, any week's program, as far as that goes. Or you can go to shortwave radio in our newsletter and on our internet site, by the way, is our shortwave radio schedule. Saturday and Sunday, we're heard on WWCR Worldwide Christian Radio out of Nashville, Tennessee, but heard around the world. Now, let's talk some more about Codex Magica, about these secret rituals, these symbols, these handshakes, these secret signs. Author Manly P. Hall was called the greatest scholar of the 20th century by Mr. Fred Kleinecht, the sovereign grand commander of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, the occult organization. Hall died about 8 or 9 years ago. I've read just about every book that he ever wrote. And boy, what an occultist he was. But he was a crafty man. Brilliant in his own way. He was a 33rd degree Mason, as high as you can get. The top degree attainable. And listen to what he wrote about symbolism. He says, symbolism fulfilled the dual office of concealing the sacred truths from the uninitiated and revealing them to those qualified to understand the symbols. Ah. They do these things with secret signs, with symbols, hidden codes, even messages in numbers, to conceal the so-called sacred truths from the uninitiated. That's you and me. I suspect you're uninitiated. I know I am. I'm not a member of Freemasonry or any secret society. But at the same time, these things are created, these symbols, this little ritual act, this little drama play going on, is intended to reveal these things to those qualified to understand the symbols. In other words, there are messages being given out. Messages of encouragement continue to promote our satanic plan, they're telling others. And another message they're sending is, look, see how duped, see how stupid the masses are, the uninitiated, the vulgar, profane masses. That's, of course, what they think of us. Mr. Fred Kleinecht, 33rd degree, the sovereign grand commander that I mentioned a moment ago, in March 2002, page 3 of the Scottish Rite Journal, was an article by Mr. Kleinecht. It was entitled, A Brave New World of Heroes. Ah, yes. Today's Masons, he says, can be champions, heroes. And he says, one of the great, this is, I'm quoting now, Mr. Klanek, one of the great lessons of the Scottish Rite is this. We do not inherit the world. We create it. We do not inherit the world, he says. We create it. They believe they're in the act of creation. They're creating a new world. They create chaos in the world, disaster, tragedy, and then they come to bring us order. Bush, of course, created the Persian Gulf War, the Iraq War, out of thin air. No reason for it. He created chaos and bloodshed and death and disaster and horror and torture. He is creating a new world. No wonder George W. Bush is a member of the Order of Skull and Bones, one of the world's premier secret societies. And I've exposed that in my book, Dark Majesty, one of the very few books ever published exposing Skull and Bones. Well, let's go very quickly now to some of the pictures I've got. Good friend Carl wrote to me, sent me a picture. He's out of Orange, Texas, by the way. And Carl says, Dear Tex, I cut this picture out of the Beaumont, Texas newspaper a few weeks back. I guess you would say this picture is worth a few words. Well, I believe it is. The picture Carl sent me is very interesting. It shows Lyndon B. Johnson, former president. And man, he's lambasting Senator Theodore Green, who was chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee back in 1957. And Senator Green is actually bent backward. He's so afraid as LBJ is, you know, is just really smashing him. LBJ, Senate Majority Leader. And man, he ruled the roost there at the Senate when he was in charge of it. But at the same time, he's lashing him with his tongue, evidently. LBJ has given him a hand sign and is the sign of mano figo. What is mano figo? Well, it's when you put your thumb between the other in the hand, your other hand, and you stick it through the other thumb and the index finger, and it's pooching out. And my book covers that very carefully. I show Timothy McVeigh giving that sign, in fact. And Chertoff, now Homeland Security Director, what does it mean to put your thumb through that circle of the other hand there, the other two fingers? Well, it's a vulgar sexual sign. And it means, basically, I'm not going to use a curse word, but it means, well, F you. You know, blank you. And so, you know, it's, we'll go from there. USA Today had a very interesting picture, an article about comedian Ben Stiller. He's in my book, Codex Magica 2. He's a Jewish Kabbalist, very much into the occult sorcery of the Kabbalah of the Jews. And here Ben Stiller is shown in a huge picture. He's sitting on a chair, and there's a symbol actually under his genital area that I won't mention, but if you look at it very carefully, you'll know what it is. And it's actually in USA Today, but it's a symbol, but they think people won't know what it means. And then he's wearing a black shirt, blue jeans, and he's looking very strangely into the camera, and his hand is clasped in the sign of the mano figo. The mano figo. I think that's interesting. Like, I can give you the sign of F you, and you won't even know what it is. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. The next picture I have here is from Time Magazine, January 22, 2007. Hey, it's by an article by Walter Isaacson, but the picture is of our good friend Condi Rice, Secretary of State. And let me just read what the first paragraph says in this article by Walter Isaacson from Time. It says, Condoleezza Rice has a lot in common with her secret new soulmate, Israeli Foreign Minister Zippy Livni. That's female, of course. Both are women with razor-sharp intellects, center-right convictions, and an odd blend of rigid righteousness and pragmatism. And the picture shows them both wearing black. Well, maybe. That's not so big of a deal. But the handshake is very significant because it is the handshake of the Co-Masons. The Co-Masons is a secretive women's Masonic organization. Very clearly a Masonic handshake. Here is the Israeli foreign minister, Zippy Livni, a woman, and a Jew, and there is Condoleezza Rice, exchanging a nice handshake. You know, this sort of makes me remember one of the trips that Condoleezza Rice went on to Israel and the Middle East, in which she wore this, I mean, it was right out of the Matrix movies. You know, the long black robe. I thought at any time, you know, she could pull out Uzi machine gun and start blowing up Arabs or something. I don't know. But she looked like a thug. She was wearing high black boots. I had about a dozen letters from people saying, hey, Che, they sent me copies of that picture saying, check out Condoleezza Rice as a male dominatrix. Wow. Doesn't mean she's a male. It means she dominates males, I guess. I don't know. Maybe she dominates females. But here she is with her, get this, secret new soulmate. I wonder if Time knew a little bit more than they're saying. Hey, here's from Time magazine again, the same issue. Boy, they go to town there at Time, don't they? Forrest Whitaker, he won the Academy Award for the movie The Last King of Scotland about he portrayed the monster, they said, Idi Amin of Uganda. And by the way, Idi Amin was a, maybe not the horror that we think he was. I used to believe myself the news reports that he fed his enemies to the crocodiles. Maybe some of those were just made up, because certainly Idi Amin broke diplomatic relations with Israel, and he was a big enemy of Israel. And when you do that, the media comes after you. Maybe Idi Amin was not such a terror after all. Who knows? You know, they say that the victors always rewrite history. Maybe they did in the case of Idi Amin. But here's Forrest Whitaker, who plays Idi Amin, the so-called madman, monster dictator of Uganda in Africa. And man, is this ever a Masonic hand sign and body gesture. He has one hand, his left hand and arm, the hand is over his shoulder. The other is in a certain symbol. And all I can tell you is he's portraying two triangles. Of course, you put two triangles together and you have a Jewish Star of David. Sort of interesting there. Here's another one from Webster's Encyclopedic Dictionary of the English Language. Somebody sent me a page out of this. And here there's a reference to Anna or Eleanor Roosevelt, the first lady in the administration of Franklin D. Roosevelt. We know she was a communist, absolute communist. By the way, Hillary Clinton, in my book, Big Sister is Watching You, I quote Hillary Clinton from a speech in which she actually says that when she has rough times, she always channels up the image or the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt and talks to her. Yeah, that's her spirit guide, old Eleanor there. But Eleanor, of course, was like Hillary, a lesbian. So, hey, why not call on a lesbian spirit guide to lead you in a demonic way, of course. But here is Miss Roosevelt, and she's facing the camera, a very nice picture. She's all smiley. But her left hand is doing a satanic sign of the devil. Quite fascinating. Here's another one for you. This is the sign that many people believe, and I talk about in Codex Magica, possibly being the Priory of Zion, the secret society. Remember Dan Brown and his books about the Illuminati? Okay, that was so fantastically popular, the Priory of Zion. Well, here's a gentleman. It's a man named André Boisclair. He's a top politician in Quebec, Canada. He may become the premier of Quebec. From the Montreal newspaper La Presse, and there he is giving this sign. Boy, it is so clear. It's also the satanic sign of the Order of the Eastern Star, the pentagram with the two horns up, and he's doing it with his hands. Then we come to Newsweek, October 23, 2006. George W. Bush and Laura Bush are at church at an Episcopal Mass, and they went up for a blessing. Yeah, they went forward for a blessing. Evidently, the priest was giving people a blessing there. And this picture shows the Episcopal priest in his robes, and he has his right hand on Laura's forehead, and she's bowing very respectfully. But right behind her in line, behind her, as maybe a husband should be behind his wife, but George Bush, and he's got his hands crossed over his body in the form of an X, the sign of Osiris, the Egyptian sun god. And, of course, Osiris is pictured on the $1 bill over the pyramid, but the sign of X was always the sign of Osiris, because, you see, even today, because of many, many years of tradition, people are told if you can't read or write, and you need to sign your name to a legal document, just sign an X. Why an X? Because X is the mysterious name and symbol of Osiris. And you were really pledging, I'm taking an oath, in those days, the ancient days, I'm taking an oath to Osiris, my Lord and God. And you wrote the X in fealty, in loyalty to Osiris. I believe what George Bush is saying, even though I'm in a Christian church, even though this is a Christian ritual, I am dedicating everything to my God, to Lucifer, to Osiris. The next picture, okay, let's keep going. Oh, we have one of Bill Clinton. We'll pass that one. Hey, we all know what Bill Clinton is. Here's what's the guy's name? Sandra, maybe help me on this. Steve Austin? Yeah, or who's the guy they call The Rock?
He just goes by The Rock.
He goes by The Rock, too? Okay. Well, here he is giving the sign of the devil that you do. Sort of looks like the OK sign, but you put your fingers up. And if you project that image on the wall, by the way, it comes out looking like a devil. That's in my book, too. Quite interesting. Then here's a book of a picture of Bono. You know, of the rock group U2. He became very famous recently for all his, you know, philanthropic charity organization activities, big in the United States and in Great Britain. Here, the guy actually takes one finger, the index finger, from each hand, and he sticks it on his head, one on each side, to show you they're the sign of the devil. He's like the devil. Now, this very sign, saying, I am of the devil, I showed the old comedy actor Charlie Chaplin, who actually was into Jewish sorcery and magic, in my book, giving that very same sign. And now we have Bono doing it. Hey, here's one of L. Ron Hubbard. He was the founder of Scientology. And if you don't know about Scientology, man, I have a tape or a CD series for you. You can find out about the truth of Scientology. Or, of course, you can believe the actor John Travolta. But if you want the truth, get my 2-tape set. And I studied Scientology for a long, long time, all of the cults. Exposed them in my book, New Age Cults and Religions. Here's a picture of L. Ron Hubbard, the late founder of the magic of Scientology. Remember that Mr. Hubbard studied under Aleister Crowley, who called himself the Beast, the Man 666. He wanted to be the Antichrist, but of course Aleister Crowley died and went on to, regrettably, hell. But L. Ron Hubbard has his hand in an L position against his head. The L, what is this? This is the Masonic Square. Quite interesting. The Masonic Square. Oh, let's see what else I have here. Boy, I have so many pictures that are just fascinating. Here's a picture of a man named Gusinski. This is from Newsweek, June 26, 2000. Way back in 2000, somebody sent me this page. Gusinski was one of the Jewish billionaires who gobbled up the assets of communist Russia after the Iron Curtain fail. Yeah, Jewish billionaires gobbled up the assets there. Gusinski took over the one of the largest oil empires. Now, it was supposedly owned by the people under communism, but somehow these Jewish oligarchs, as they're called, became the mafia, the Jewish mafia. And Gusinski took over the oil empire for a time. But here he is wearing a nice gray winter coat. And he has his right hand, you know, concealed under the coat, but showing a little bit of the hand out. Now, this is the hand sign, the secret concealed hand sign of the men who know that their secret god is Yabulon, the demon god of Freemasonry. Yah, sometimes pronounced Jabulon. That's right. They worship the god Jabulon or Yabulon in Freemasonry. And in the sixth degree, they learn about Jabulon. And this is the hand sign that is used. This goes back even in history. You can see in my book, Codex Magica, a picture of Napoleon. Napoleon. Do you remember those famous paintings? He would always have his right hand, sometimes his left hand, under his coat. Yeah, and I always thought maybe the guy's hand was cold and he had to stick his hand, though, not his whole arm, but just, and he would always leave a little bit of the hand showing. Well, that's a secret sign of Freemasons. I think that's interesting. Hey, same guy, another guy giving that sign. This is from the European newspaper. The European newspaper. And they have some pictures of royalty in Europe. Boy, the front page of the magazine. There's a picture of Princess Martha Louise of Norway, King Carl Gustav, Queen Sylvia, Queen Sophia, Crown Prince Felipe of Spain, and so forth. All, you know, from Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, Princess Juliana. There's Monaco's Prince Albert. But here we have King Carl Gustaf of Sweden. And yes, there's the old right hand under the coat trick. So it extends even to royalty over in Europe. Now, unfortunately, somebody sent me some pictures from the War Cry. That's the Salvation Army magazine. Hey, the Salvation Army does great things, but in recent years, much of its leadership has turned New Age. No different than Southern Baptist and Assembly of God and many others. And I report these things, and that's why so many people think that, you know, they just are just so angry at Tex Mars. And I'm, you know, not welcome in their quarters, so to speak. But we're going to keep it up. Here's a picture of Richard Butler, Australian ambassador to the United Nations, meeting with a Salvation Army Major Garrell. And it appears that Major Garrell of the Salvation Army is giving one of the lower degree handshakes with his right hand to this ambassador to the United Nations. Here's one for you people that love Reverend Al Sharpton of New York, Democrat, running for president last time, at least, on the Democratic Party ticket. Reverend Al Sharpton and singer-entertainer Christina Aguilera. And they're both smiling and doing the sign of the triangle with their hands. The sign of the triangle. It's not an innocent sign, folks. Read Codex Magica. Hey, I wish I had more time. We're out of time. It's been great being with you today as we sort of give you an update on Codex Magica, these secret signs. Friends, keep the faith. And my prayer is that you will tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.